Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I'm your host, Monique Davis-Dotson, and I have a very special guest with me. Her name is Denise Highsmith. Denise is a wife, a mother, an entrepreneur. She's also my sister in Christ. Say I've been knowing Denise for years, and you guys are going to be blessed with her story, her testimony. As we are in the month of October, which is known for breast cancer awareness. Denise, she is a breast cancer survivor. And she's going to share her testimony as well as encourage somebody who may be currently walking or going through this journey that you can overcome it too. So I want to thank you for sitting at the mic with me today. I'm so excited. You're in the Zoom technology world, so I get to see that pretty pink shirt she has on.
Yes.
And I want you to give the listeners some encouraging words and just kind of introduce yourself to them. I mean, I've been knowing you. I met you through your husband, Alonzo Highsmith. Right. And that was, Denise, I don't even know how long that was.
Maybe when Santana was playing football, when he first started. What year was that when y'all?
When Santana first started, he went into the league in 91. Because Alonzo played for the Houston Oilers. He played
for
Tampa Bay. Who am I missing?
Cowboys.
And the Cowboys.
Cowboys and then Tampa Bay, yeah.
But the thing with you two, just thinking about it, you both went to the U. You met in Miami, right? Yeah. And then you guys, you have two amazing kids who are athletes. I mean, everything exceptional about the job you guys have done with them. And so we have this bond just, you know, being athletes' wives, athlete mamas, you know, entrepreneurs, just sisters in Christ, everything, you know. And I'm just honored always whenever I'm in your presence, because you just have this infectious smile and this spirit, and it's been consistent for all the years, even throughout your journey. So it's just a pleasure to have you on the show today. So
it's almost 30 years.
30 years
that we've been friends. Yes, AJ was born in 91, and I'm sure between Sean and Tina Jones and you guys, we always got together from that when Santana started playing in the league. We always got together. So
always got together. Had the best of times.
The best party.
The best of times. Since it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I want you to just kind of travel your journey with us. We were talking, and you said it's been 20 years?
20 years. I just thought about it when you gave me the call asking if I would be your guest. And I even just called Jordan, and I was like, I just can't believe, like, is it 18, 19, 20? And I was like, Jordan, what grade were you in? Because the kids just remember it like that.
Yeah.
The little bit sad part is, you know, they were very young. And thank God I had support, not only family, like their teachers, like different people just stepped in and just did, you know, really nice things. But December of 2000, I don't know if I ever told you this, we actually had just gotten home from the famous Christmas Eve party at the Jones's house. Seriously. I laid down to go to bed. I'm serious. I laid down to go to sleep, and I felt something on the left side, and like right where your breast meets your arm, not your armpit, but you know, just on the side right there. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a pea, like really not much bigger than a pea, maybe like an almond, but it wasn't pointy, because that's what they said my lump was like. It was like almost an oval shape. And I felt something, and I was like, and I told Alonzo, and he's like, oh, don't worry about it. It's okay. And you know, when you feel something, I mean, I've never been fibrocystic or whatever. Some women have, you know, feel things, lumps and whatever. So I've never had anything like that. And of course, like most of us, I wasn't doing, you know, nobody does that monthly check or whatever they tell
you. Like we're supposed to do it. You're right.
Right. Exactly.
So we're encouraging everybody to do it. Okay.
Right.
Learn from our lessons.
Encouraging you. Right.
Yes.
So I felt that. And, you know, the next couple of days I was like, this is not, you know, it doesn't feel normal. Anyway,
let me ask you a question. How did it feel in case a woman is doing her self-examination? What did you
feel? It literally feels like a peat under your skin, like not too hard, but not too soft. Kind of like how you're touching your, I don't know, maybe like you're touching your knuckle on your finger, like it's just a little hard spot, you know? You know, everything is so smooth, like how you feel, you know, just smooth. And all of a sudden I just felt this little knot, just a little knot under my skin.
Right.
And so I called my doctor. He was on vacation the week between Christmas and New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, I called another good friend who lives in Friendswood. Her husband's a chiropractor, and they just happened to have a woman's doctor. I don't know if he was a gynecologist or if he was just like general. But anyway, she says, you know what? This is my doctor. He's right next door to my husband's practice. Why don't you come just to, you know, get in and get an initial test done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to Friendswood and got checked like the next week. And so that was like right before New Year's or right after. Within a week I was checked. But and so this is crazy, the significance of all these dates. So they called me for my results. And on January 9th, which was my dad's birthday,
mm-hmm.
and January 10th is Jordan's birthday, I got my diagnosis.
Wow.
We had this big 8th birthday party planned for her. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let anything, you know, you don't want to frazzle the kids and all that.
Right.
So my aunt came in town like immediately. And she was like, we're just going to have everything go as planned. You know, we have our little birthday party. Then we figure out, you know, where we go from there. And so the following week, I'm really blessed to have certain people. I'm telling you, God puts certain people in my path.
Yeah.
So the next week, one of my other good friends, she's a sister friend to me, Sharonda Allen, she worked at MD Anderson, but mm-hmm. just like an administrative secretary. I'm not even sure what department then, but you know, you can get people in when you know people.
Right.
Because when we first called MD Anderson, because you know, you hear MD Anderson is like probably number one or number two in the whole nation for mm-hmm. cancer and for breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So we, she made a call for me and she got me in like the next week. Cause mm-hmm. when you call, they'll tell you, you can't get an appointment for like 6 weeks or two
right.
months, you know? So we got in and long story short, it was very small and they said it was contained, but I was very concerned because I have two aunts and three great aunts. It's very prevalent in my dad's family.
Okay.
So, I mean, to say I was nervous, but I was like, oh gosh, you know, we want to target this thing and get it taken care of soon, because I just remember my aunts who I was very close to
mm-hmm.
who passed away very young.
Right.
So anyway, you know, went to MD Anderson, had my surgery, I believe, a couple weeks later.
That was a blessing to be able to get it done that quick.
Yes, I was in, and I'm telling you, I was in there. I think I had my surgery like the same week of Martin Luther King Day. I mean, all these dates I remember.
Yeah.
And everything went well. It was all contained, but they did recommend me to somewhere down the line take the do the BRCA test, the BRCA1 and 2, which is the genetic testing.
Mm-hmm. How long down the line did they suggest? I mean, now, you know, that was 20 years ago, and now technology right. has, you know, improved. How long was that when they said, okay, well, your surgery went well, but based on genetics, we feel that you should get the BRCA?
Yes, BRCA testing. She just said whenever I was ready, it wasn't like a rush thing.
Okay.
But my so I had a lumpectomy because it was very small, but okay. it didn't go anywhere else. They took they usually take lymph nodes to check them to make sure it didn't metastasize anywhere else, and I was blessed to where it was just contained in that area. Mm-hmm. So after they did the lump, I had to have radiation. It was kind of like, just even though they didn't see anything, they just recommend that so that precaution. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I had probably I think for like 4 to 6 weeks, just once a day, you go in and they do a little radiation. You really don't feel anything. Mm-hmm. But the crazy thing is, just like the sun, I don't know if you've ever known that after 4 or 5, literally the last week of my treatment,
mm-hmm.
my skin in that area was burnt like a sunburn.
Really?
And it, yes, yes, from the rays, they shoot the ray like where your where the both rays meet, like under my breast, right in the center at the bottom, like where your bra, the underwire would be. It was burnt. Like I had to get this. Then they recommend a salve, like a cream that's good, like a real sunburn. Wow. So radiation, with it being in my family, they recommended that I have, most women have a mammogram once a year, which is recommended, or, you know, you have breast cancer in your family. First of all, they recommend that you do it a little earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't remember if the age was like 40 or 35 for regular women. If you have breast cancer in the family, they recommend that you start getting the mammograms as early as 30.
Right.
But they recommended that I have a mammogram every year and then a MRI every 6 months. So every 6 months I was there, which made me feel very comfortable, mm-hmm. you know, checking myself, checking with technology every 6 months or so. And then coming up 7 years later, on my right, that was my left breast, and then on the right side, I they happened to see something different. They didn't even say it was a lump. They just saw something that wasn't there mm-hmm. 6 months before. So that's the good thing about maintaining your checkups and your tests, whatever they recommend. Right. You know, they base it off of a line of the last time. So they saw something in I guess it was early part of 2007. And the next thing they said, well, she had already recommended that that I have the genetic testing. So that same year when they saw the something on the other side, I immediately did the genetic testing. I didn't really do it right then. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, you know, I had to right away. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I kind of knew what my results were going to be, which, you know, I shouldn't say that because I have a cousin that my aunt that passed away, her daughter had the testing and she was negative. So it's not always, you know, right. positive, but I wasn't surprised. I should say once, you know, it's so crazy. The hospital gives you genetic counseling because even though I know I had breast cancer, it still is like a big whammy when you find out that you have the gene, you know, like you can't avoid it. If you have the gene, you have the gene, and that means you're gonna, it's, you know, you'll have it. So once I tested positive, they give you all the options. And I'm so glad that I decided to go ahead. I mean, a lot of women feel like it's very radical. And I've even had relatives that totally didn't want to even take the test because they don't want to know the results. But guess what? They turned around in like a year and had breast cancer. You know, thank goodness it was still early.
Yeah.
Where they're still here and it was, you know, early diagnosis and stuff. But anyway, I went ahead and decided to go ahead and do the double mastectomy for prophylactics. So they didn't really find anything. And I went ahead and did a double mastectomy with reconstructive immediately, which I don't notice. I'm not around a lot of breast cancer survivors, recent ones, but I didn't notice that too many people do this. But my surgery was very radical. Like I was in surgery, I think over 14 hours because they remove the breast tissue and then they immediately use your fat. It's called a tram flap. That's like the short name. I can't remember that long word, but they remove your breast tissue and another surgeon immediately comes in and bring fat from other parts of your body and put it in there. So my surgery was all my own fat used from other parts of my body, which was, they used my tummy fat. He's like, you have just enough. I said, I want to be Dolly Parton, you know, just average size. I'm good with just average, just looking natural. So he was like, you have just enough. And Monique, I'm still amazed to this day. I really want to go to MD Anderson and visit Dr. Oates, because the plastic surgeon, because I'm still amazed. Like you would never know. They move the fat up your abdomen under your skin. It's not like they take it out and stick it back in. Uh-huh. Don't ask me how that works.
Yeah.
But there's a certain area in my tummy that is numb. And he says, it'll probably be numb forever. But I'm blessed. I'm here and I don't have any issues, you know.
Yeah.
So, it was crazy. So they, all that took over 15 hours. I was in
That's
surgery.
A long time to be in surgery.
And then once the surgery is over, I just remember for days I had a hot pad on my chest because they have to make sure, it's just like any transplant. Like they have to make sure my body takes my own you know,
yeah,
tissue that they move.
Right.
And so it has to, like, you know, form, like, live again, like, in somewhere else. You know, it's like a transplant.
Yeah. Exactly.
So anyway, it's very successful. Very
and that good, was 2007.
Yeah.
Wow.
So like 7 years later, I had that surgery. But honestly, after that radical surgery, I mean, it was really extensive. And when I got home, I had a good 4 weeks of really needing help because you have tubes, you know, drain tubes and whatnot, not just in my breast, but on my stomach area where the surgery, you know, where they transplanted the fat from. Yeah. So, you know,
you've been cancer free since, and you've been good.
Cancer free. Yes.
God is good. Yeah. Let me ask you, how did that, because you've always had this positive, you know, attitude, and if there's something I got to do, I'm going to do it. So you've always been focused. Yeah. But as a mom, you know, and as a wife, how did you feel emotionally? You know, we women have that S on our chest, and we don't want family to be sad or discouraged. So we take on a lot of their emotions. And so we know that we have to be the strong one in the family.
Yeah.
But in your quiet time, how were you dealing with all of that?
I know. It's funny you say that. Like you said, yeah, it's like everything's great. You know, I really do have a lot of positive people around. My aunt, my marriage, my mom's brother's wife, she is a nurse. She was like the nurse in the family. When anybody went down with anything, she was always there. And she literally flew in from Miami from day one and, you know, helped me get this thing going. And it's just a matter of really having good, positive Christian, you know, people around you that just really pump you up and make you feel like, you know, it's not the end of the world. Yeah. I mean, we're going to do the best we can. Yeah. So, you know, and like you said, during quiet time, yeah, you have your moments where, oh, you know, I've never really said why me. I just feel like I just want to be here for my kids and here to see, you know, them grow up, stuff like that. So I just, you know, try to stay positive, stay in the word.
And faith is it. That's just a priority, right?
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of people, they're like, well, I don't know God, or something happened in their life that turns them away from God or what have you. And it appears that you were like, okay, you know, yes, I lost an aunt, you know, lost a family member that I love, but my faith still remains intact. How were you able to do that? Maybe you can encourage somebody how you were able to do that.
Well, I would say, you know, my ladies class at church, you know, just being active with women that really help keep you upbeat, your private time, just really staying in the word. I mean, I'm not a study person, like every night writing notes or listening to a sermon, but, you know, you have your prayers and your certain scriptures and a devotional that I always read maybe at night and in the morning. And I really just stay in the word and be around my friends that really keep me pumped up. And, you know, you have to have time for yourself. I mean, we're in the COVID pandemic where we can't really do a lot, but you know, when you have friends say, come out and let's go to lunch, just keep your mind off of stuff that, you know, when you sit at home and if you sit there and just stay in it, sometimes it really brings you down. Yeah. But I just find, you know, going out, seeing outside, like just even just going to the park and having, you know, just taking a walk, you know, even now that's lately, we've just been walking, you know, just, and I really enjoy being outside. I'm just like I just love being outside, nature person.
That's some good advice. Yeah. And what I hope the listeners hear you say is that yes, faith plays a major part, because you want to believe in something, in someone. And we encourage it. We're Christians, and we encourage, if you are taking this journey right now and walking down this path, to get into the word. And if you don't know where to start, please feel free to contact me and I'll be more than happy to help you. But I know that there are some good, you know, Christian circles who will give you the support, because like you said something that was really, really powerful a second ago, and I was taking it in. You were like, I had a good support system. Some people don't have
that.
And they don't know where to go or where to look. But, you know, if you are traveling this journey, a lot of times there are different programs offered that your doctor or the hospital will provide. Yes. So that you can yes. support a support team if you know, just know that yes. help is out there. Because it can be overwhelming, yeah. I'm sure, especially yes. with kids. You know, just your spouse, your family, you keep pressing forward is what I hear you saying. And you're telling the listeners to do the same, that it'll be okay. You can get through, yes. right? You can get through.
Yes. Yes. But definitely, like you said, wherever you go to the doctor or the hospital, there's always, support groups there. Even just Googling online the hospital that you do go to or the doctor's office, they have so much going on with support groups nowadays.
Yeah.
And they might just have in your area, you know, in your neighborhood or whatever.
So there are organizations that you can find online that you can probably partner with support groups yes. or teams via Zoom. So you know, it's heavy. It's heavy for a lot of people. And I'm so glad that everything worked out and you made the decision that worked best for you and
yes.
your health. That's the most important yeah. thing, you know, because yeah. some women are afraid of, you mean I have to get a mastectomy? You know, like, you know,
right,
I have to
right.
go through that. And so how did you feel when you made that decision? It's like, listen, this is could be a life or death. There is no yes. other option. So there's we no can other. Fix the breast. We can, you know, there right. are doctors who can help you. So what would you tell a woman that's like, but I think this is a part of me and I'm losing this. You know, I hear a lot of women who go through that emotional, turmoil of in their mind thinking that if they lose their breast, they lose a part of them. What would you say to that woman?
And you know what? It's true. I'm not going to even try to sugarcoat any of that. So with my surgery, with them taking out the breast tissue and they cut around your nipple area, I've lost sensation. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot, that's the first thing a lot of women think about, like, you know, you don't feel anything anymore and, you know, your sexuality and whatever. But honestly, I just felt like I want to be here for my kids, for my family. I want to watch them grow up. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing that I'm worried about. My husband could care less about that stuff because he knew it'd be better for me to be here than worried right. about, you know, the disease taking
yeah,
over.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, no, it's not that, yeah. no, it's about your life. It's
yes, your
life.
Yes,
yeah.
Life, yes, yes.
Well, that's good. And I hope that encourages someone because that's a battle for a lot of women who feel like,
it is.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know a person who's actually walking this journey right now and she's,
yes.
But she's going through she had the mastectomy. Uh-huh. She goes in on Wednesday, I think. She goes in on Wednesday and they're going to do the reconstructive. Yeah, they're going to do the reconstructive.
Right, right.
Now. So she went
right.
through that.
Nowadays, most people I know, they have the mastectomy and they put expanders in there just to keep you know, your skin stretched. Yeah. So then they put in the breast tissue. Put in something.
So that's what she was going
but to. Yeah. A little painful at first, but you know what? But there's a light at the end of the tunnel, you know?
Amen. And that's what we want to encourage the listeners. And I hope that you guys were blessed with Denise's testimony. I know that I'm blessed and it's so informative to know. And when you're talking to a real person who had that real experience, before I wrap it up, I want to ask you, how did Alonzo deal with it? Because, you know, men trying to be tough and strong. But you know, it's his wife, it's his soulmate, you know?
Yes. And he was strong. You know, he still, I know he had his moments when he might have been with his friends and, you know, worried. Like my aunt said, she knew he was worried, but he'll show it in a different way away from me. Yeah. But like I said, when you have surround yourself with strong people, I mean, not everybody has someone in a family that's well versed in the medical stuff, but you just have to surround yourself with strong mentality, people that are positive, all positive vibes. You know, you don't want, you know, anything negative around you, even though some of this, what the doctor is giving you is negative. You have to learn how to deal with it. It's just another thing that we have to just be strong and can't stress enough about, you know, just having good strong family and friends that, you know, love you and really care around. Yeah. Just to have them around. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that will go for, you know, we were talking about the women's support group, and as far as the men as well in your life, you know, being the father, the brother, the husband, you know, they also have their support group. So we encourage that for, you know, the men who are listening.
And Monique, anyone that wants to reach out, if they reach out to you and they want to talk to me, I am always welcome, you know, always open to help, to speak, help anybody out in any way I can.
That's just who you are. You always been that way. That's why I love you so much. So we are both, you know, football women, right?
Sports. Yes. Yes.
So who you have before we end it, who you have this year?
Yeah. We're now Seattle Seahawks in this house. So I got to be with Russell and those guys. You know, my son AJ is with Buffalo Bills, and they're 4-0. Well,
Buffalo,
4-0.
I know they're doing their thing. I'm like, goodness gracious! So it's just all in her family. I'm telling you, even her daughter. It's her daughter, Jordan. She was a track athlete, and but now she's doing her great work in Alabama as a reporter. I know I'm going to see her just continue to do great things. But going back to you guys now being with Seattle, I am wishing you nothing but the best. If Green Bay goes to the Super Bowl, you know I want Seattle to go, because I've always liked Russell and I've always followed Seattle. So no matter what, family's first. So I'm rooting for you guys. Family's first.
Yes, thank you.
Family's first. So as we wrap up, tell you I love you, continue to shine, and thank you so much for being a blessing to the listeners today with all these great encouraging words. And that's it. I hope you join me at the mic again. Maybe we'll do some football talk next time.
for sure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Denise Highsmith, for sitting at the mic with me and sharing your beautiful testimony of survival. I know that your story was able to help someone who may be currently going through the breast cancer journey or possibly about to enter it. So once again, I thank you for that testimony and being so authentic and sharing the importance of your faith, as well as having a great supporting cast, and also making yourself available to the listeners who may actually need more words of encouragement. So I want to thank you for that. Listeners, if you are traveling the breast cancer journey currently, please know that there is support out there for you. There are many organizations and many support groups who will walk with you through this journey. Also, for all of us women, make sure that we are doing our self-examinations every month. And if you feel something that is awkward and you know it's not something that's not right, don't ignore it. Go and get it checked out immediately. Early detection is the key. Let's continue to honor our breast cancer survivors during the month of October, as well as lift the memory to those who lost their life to it. We can still share their testimony because their memory forever lives. Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I sincerely appreciate it. May God bless and keep you safe until the next podcast. God bless.